You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now the fun begins. With the Woj bombs beginning to drop, a potentially very active offseason here in Houston feels officially underway. To talk about it, welcome in to another new episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is again sponsored by our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where their incredible Memorial Day Super Sale has now been extended. Visit any Houston-area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. As we chat this Wednesday night, today's show is largely going to be a reaction to the ESPN story from a few hours ago by Adrian Wojnarowski regarding Rockets GM Daryl Morey. If you haven't seen it yet, just type in ESPN.com and you'll find it pretty easily. In that story, you'll see in the lead that Morey is making his entire roster and future draft picks available in trade talks, which Woj calls a dramatic initiative with hopes of reshaping the team into a championship contender. My initial thought is to remind everyone to make sure and read beyond the headline and the first sentence. Because really, if you listen to this show or if you follow Daryl Morey at all in the now 12, 13 years that he's been in Houston, this should not come as a surprise. It's not truly breaking news. With very few exceptions, such as last offseason, this is not a run-it-back GM or a run-it-back organization. Last year, you could see why they would largely gamble on continuity, especially at the top of the food chain, not just James Harden, but guys like Chris Paul, Clint Capella. They won 65 games, by far the best team in franchise history in 2018. They pushed the Warriors to 7, and not only did they push the Warriors to 7, they were up 3-2 before Chris Paul's hamstring went out. There were lots of reasons to believe that that team was championship quality, even though they did not have a ring. This year, you cannot make that argument. Not only did they lose in 6 games to the Warriors in the playoffs, but in the regular season, they won 53 games instead of 65. Many of the same issues we saw in the playoffs, especially on the defensive end, we saw them in the regular season as well. In my opinion, that's part of why we've already seen a lot of turnover on the coaching staff beneath Mike D'Antoni, with Jeff Bezdalek, Roy Rogers, and the coaches particularly focused on the defensive side of the ball, the ones that have thus far been let go. So this offseason has much more in common with the majority of Daryl Morey offseasons, which are very busy, as opposed to last summer, which was largely, as they said, running it back. They had reason to believe that that team could win a championship, that core. This year, while they're not a long way away, there's not that same degree of confidence. So this, while it comes as a bit of a contrast relative to last year and what we heard from the Rockets in the offseason, the reality is that over the balance of Daryl Morey's career in Houston, this is not atypical. Nothing is off the table. Now, it does not mean that anything is necessarily going to happen. Let's be clear about this. The Rockets, it seems like, other than last year, almost every June, heading into draft, free agency, they make it known that they are listening. And above all else, that to me is what this story is about. It is using Woj as a bullhorn, and he's the biggest one there is in the NBA universe, to let the entire NBA know that nothing is off the table. Now, I wouldn't read too much into it. For example, while Woj says it's extremely unlikely, he doesn't even 100% rule out that James Harden could be dealt. That's not going to happen. That's just a matter of the Rockets making clear and the symbolism of the story that nothing is off limits. Come to us with any ideas you have, and we will listen. That's how you drum up interest. That's how you build a market. However, don't make this into more than it is. We hear this type of thing from the Rockets a lot, and many times nothing happens at all. I definitely don't think they're looking at dealing James Harden, which would be absolutely ridiculous. Players that are top 5 in the league just don't get dealt unless there's a proverbial gun to the GM's head, like, say, Kawhi Leonard in the Spurs last summer when he was a year away from free agency. Otherwise, those types of players don't get dealt unless it's for another top 5 player and it's just circumstances. But by and large, those guys stay because that's the most precious commodity in the NBA, and 4 quarters does not equal a dollar, to use an analogy that I believe Daryl Morey himself has used at one point before. So I wouldn't make too much of a literal translation of anything is possible. That's just due diligence. That's building a market. And, you know, to be completely honest, sure, I think the Rockets would be open to dealing James Harden if, say, the Pelicans offered Anthony Davis and the number one pick, which will be Zion Williamson. You'd be a fool not to trade a 30-year-old James Harden with only two or three true prime years left under those circumstances. That said, I can't see the Pelicans wanting to do that for a number of reasons. That's just one example where I think to those that are trying to read too much into it, look, you never say never. That's kind of the hallmark of Daryl Morey in Houston. And to be completely honest, that's smart. Sometimes things do fall into your lap. However, in this case, I think the lead in terms of nothing being off limits, that's more about symbolism than it is the true reality of the story. As I see, the actual news is twofold. First, the canvas is underway. This is the beginning of the offseason, as I said, the bullhorn, letting the entire league know, hey, we're open for business. We're looking for radical changes. So no matter how outlandish it may seem, get us your proposals and we'll build from there. That's smart. That's what GMs do. They want to know what's out there, what all possibilities are. There is nothing that hurts from gathering more information. That is the first takeaway, that this is about sending a message to the league. And while we've anticipated for a while that this was going to be coming, really ever since Game 6, we said that here at Locked On Rockets that this should be a very active offseason, unlike last year. Well, this is the clear confirmation and sending a message, as I said, to the entire league. Second, the other takeaways is that there are tidbits further down in the story that are a bit more specific, particularly Clint Capella, Chris Paul, and Mike D'Antoni, in which there are news beyond just PR posturing, which I think the headline and the lead are. That's letting the league know what's going on. And then further down in the story, that's where you get some details from Woj about what's actually going on. And I'll start in segment one, because Woj mentions and Mark Stein of the New York Times also confirmed that the Rockets have been gauging the market on Clint Capella in recent days. And I'm starting with that as the most important takeaway, because I think that's the most likely move to be made as the Rockets try and reshape their roster this summer. I've hinted at this for a couple of weeks now, but the reason that I think a Clint Capella move is very possible is that this is a rare situation where he has more value to other teams. This is usually not the case for a number of reasons, but in this particular one, I believe it is. First and foremost, there's the Warriors problem. Capella was so good this year, 17 points, 13 boards, nearly two blocks a game, 65% from the field, got his free throws up to about 64%. So much progress on so many fronts, got his stamina into the mid-30s minutes per game. And yet he did not play up to his capabilities against the Warriors. For the Rockets, that's a problem, because with James Harden turning 30 years old later this summer, they are very much about the next 2 to 3 years. How do we maximize our chances over the very immediate term of winning a championship with this particular core? And that means going through the Warriors, whether they have Kevin Durant or if they don't. For most of the rest of the NBA, it's not like that. For starters, if you're in the East, then you wouldn't see the Warriors until the finals anyway. And more than that, a lot of teams, given how excessively high the current bar is in the NBA, they're building for 3-4 years down the line. So Clint Capella at 25, he makes some sense. So you could see teams that would take a gamble on him at his age, believing that he could grow with them. And unlike a lot of players in a situation like Houston, where it really tends to gum up the works with a contender shipping off one of its established players like Clint Capella, is that, let's say the Rockets were to deal Clint Capella to Atlanta, which I think would be a good fit for him in terms of teams that could use a better presence in the middle. Well, a lot of players, you ship them from a team like Houston to Atlanta, a contender to a rebuilding squad, then they're not going to be happy. You don't know how they're going to fit in. And you worry that within a year or two, then that player would just walk for greener pastures and to get onto another contender again. This is a rare case where Clint Capella signed to that 5-year deal last summer that still has 4 years left on it at about $70 million combined, a little over $17 million a season. For his production, a 25-year-old big man that's 17 and 13, shooting in the mid-60s% from the field, that's a good contract. It's relatively cheap labor at the position, not at a max level, and it's club-controlled. There are no player options. You would fully have his rights. You could instill him as a piece of your core and build around him without fear of him leaving. And if you're a rebuilding team, then even if he's not a particularly good matchup against the Warriors and Draymond Green, well, guess what? 3 or 4 years from now, that's not really going to be that relevant. Draymond is going to turn 30 next year. Steph Curry is going to be 32. That team is going to eventually age out. It's just that the Rockets, with James Harden turning 30 himself, don't have the luxury to wait. So Clint Capela being disproportionately worse against the Warriors, that's a problem in Houston. Elsewhere, it's not. So that's why I see Clint as a good player. Now, it's not that he's not valuable to the Rockets. He is. If they were to deal Clint, they would have to figure out a pathway to cobble together minutes at the five spot over the 82-game grind of a regular season. Hopefully they feel that Isaiah Hartenstein is ready for a role. Maybe you could get a DeAndre Jordan or Kenneth Faried to return, someone like that, in free agency to sign on the cheap, and you could patchwork your way through the season. Because even if the Rockets feel like that the tuck wagon lineup in the playoffs against the Warriors is the way to go, I don't think asking a 35-year-old PJ Tucker to play those types of minutes in the regular season is very smart at all. So you'd have to have a plan to get through the regular season. Capella is a big part of your matchup success against teams like Denver, Utah, other Western Conference playoff teams besides Golden State. So it's not easy for the Rockets to do a move. They shouldn't trade him just to trade him. But the reason I tend to believe they will is that when you look at it on paper, there are other teams that just have more value for Clint because they are not as directly dependent on how they match up with the Warriors as the Rockets are. They're a different spot as a franchise, and many of them may be in the Eastern Conference, so they just don't see the Warriors as much, period. So because of that, I think there's ultimately going to be a deal to be had. And that's why I'm optimistic that something gets done. Now, I don't think that it's going to happen all that quickly. I think the Rockets are smart to canvas the market now. But we need to be very clear about one thing. Clint Capela, it's not just about his asset value. It's also about his salary, making about $17 million a year. That's big if the Rockets want to make any sort of sizable acquisition this summer, because as we've said earlier this week, the Rockets don't have a lot in the way of salary filler. So it's not just Clint Capela as an asset, a young, very good big man that now club control for four more years. Really, his market is the entire NBA. Unlike a lot of players in his shoes, there are teams like Atlanta and Chicago that normally would not be buyers for players off contenders for fear they'd leave. That's not the case with Clint Capela. His market is truly broad at his age and with his contract situation. That's the good news. The bad news, of course, if you're the Rockets, those types of teams don't have, in most cases, players that would be difference makers, as Woj said in the lead of the story today, to your chances of winning a championship. That is the point. And teams like Atlanta and Chicago, even if they do have interest in Clint Capela, they probably don't have the type of player to immediately make you a contender or a better contender than you were this past season. Just look at their record. There's a reason for that. I think it's valuable for the Rockets to canvas the entire league for potential three-team scenarios, but those three-team scenarios probably are not going to get anywhere near the finish line until late June, early July. And the reason is, for the Rockets to get the type of difference maker they crave, a star-level piece, it would probably have to be a free agent to be, the same way they got Chris Paul 2 years ago. Even though Houston doesn't have cap room now, and they didn't at the time they got Chris Paul, because of the leverage a pending free agent has over his team, that's how you're able to get good deals. If you're someone in the Rockets' shoes that doesn't have cap room and you want to get more than you send out. Because sure, the Rockets can make trades, but generally speaking, teams are going to want about the same asset value as what they give up. So how much does it really make you better? The one case that you can overcome that is if the other team is leveraged. And typically those situations, be it perhaps a Jimmy Butler opt-in and trade, perhaps a sign-in trade involving a free agent, a star that wants to leave somewhere else, whatever it may be, those aren't going to come to a head until late June and early July. And the reason the Rockets don't want to do a deal yet, I'm sure some will say, Ben, couldn't the Rockets deal Capela to the Hawks for, say, Kent Bazemore and either the 8th or the 10th pick in the draft, and then use that lottery pick the same way back in 2012, if you recall, they dealt Kyle Lowry in July for a protected lottery pick, and then a few months later, they used that as the centerpiece of the trade that got James Harden to Houston. The problem in this case is that the Rockets don't just need Clint Capela or whatever he lands as an asset. They also need his salary because they don't have filler otherwise. And if you were to deal Capella for Kent Bazemore, we discussed this dynamic the other day without using these particular names, but you would have a 60-day waiting period after acquiring a new player such as Bazemore before you could then trade him as part of a package. You could deal him individually, but that's very difficult to do if you're trying to cobble together salaries for a bigger piece and potentially a max level piece if we're talking a hypothetical sign and trade. So while it's smart for the Rockets to canvas the market now, unless they are actually getting a piece that they are comfortable saying, this is what gives us a championship shot next season, and we feel better that it's what we could get getting closer to free agency and seeing what shakes free on the market, I don't expect a deal. This is doing due diligence. This is laying the groundwork, but it doesn't make sense, in my opinion, to actually consummate a deal all that soon, because then you could not repackage the player you get and use him as salary filler. What I think the most likely course of action going on right now, seeing what the market is, and if you don't get any of the free agents, then sure, you could come back to some of these trades later in late June, early July, or you're looking at these possibilities as potential third teams in a deal where, let's say, the Jimmy Butler hypothetical. Butler opts in and is traded by Philly to Houston. Clint Capella goes to a third team, and then that team's assets go to Philly. Something like that. That's just one example. But to me, that's what the Rockets are doing. It's not an easy decision because he is young. He's got a lot of value over the regular season. But it's a rare case in which I think he's actually more valuable to other teams than he is to the Rockets, especially with their championship window. So when you consider that and you combine it with the fact that the Rockets have this clear sense of urgency with James Harden turning 30 years old and the fact that Capella at 25 and under contract is by far your most attractive piece in terms of other teams widespread having interest, then a lot of those things come together and tell me that a deal probably gets done. It's not to say that Clint is being scapegoated. He's just your easiest piece to move, and he is disproportionately less valuable against the Warriors. So there are a lot of reasons to think that a deal can and will come together. He should have a lot of interest. It just doesn't make sense to do the deal now since you can't repackage who you get. If you make a deal now, you need to be pretty confident that this is the move. This is what we think gives us a chance to beat the Warriors next year the way we couldn't this year. And I just highly doubt that that piece is available now or that it's better than a loaded free agency class. My guess is that the Rockets, they know that Capella is potentially a very useful chip to lure Jimmy Butler or someone else as a free agent in a hypothetical opt-in or sign-and-trade scenario. They'll play that out first, and then if that doesn't work out, then they'll come back to these other Capella deals with guys who aren't really in as such of a leveraged state. Because to me, that's where the Rockets are looking first. Because if you want to make a good deal, typically that's how they get done when a player has the leverage of, hey, if you don't trade me, even if you're not getting full market value, you might lose everything. You get nothing. With a regular trade, you don't have that much leverage, so that's why it's hard to get the type of upgrade the Rockets are seeking. That's why I tend to think that the Rockets' ideal plan A has to do with using Capella as bait to get a top-tier free agent, either opt-in and traded to Houston or a sign-and-trade, whatever it may be. So I think right now they're definitely canvassing the market. There are some of these deals that could be fallback plans down the line, but I think plan A is getting ready for late June or early July and the wave of top-tier free agents and seeing if the Rockets can get in the door for one of them, much the same way they did with Chris Paul 2 years ago. We'll get back into trade talk momentarily with a look at the aforementioned Chris Paul, but for now I want to tell you about our awesome friends over at Gallery Furniture and their incredible Memorial Day Super Sale, which has now been extended. Visit any convenient Houston area Gallery Furniture location today at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to shop the largest ever inventory of solid wood Amish-made furniture in Gallery Furniture history. Plus, enjoy amazing deals on name-brand mattresses, including Sealy, stunning bedroom styles starting at $599, beautifully upholstered sofas priced as low as $399, entire dining sets from as low as $599, and so much more. Gallery Furniture is receiving new shipments of quality furniture after Memorial Day weekend, and you can enjoy amazing Memorial Day savings on these brand new items, too. Gallery Furniture is proud to now serve a wider range of Houstonians with low prices on quality furniture for every room in your cherished home. Shop Gallery Furniture's extended Memorial Day Super Sale savings today and enjoy your new quality furniture purchases in your home within 3 to 4 hours of when you choose same-day delivery. All right, jumping back into the program, this is Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. today on this Wednesday night. We're looking at the Adrian Wojnarowski story at ESPN.com about Daryl Morey making aggressive moves, letting the league know that nothing is off limits with regards to the Rockets roster. As we explained off the top, in terms of these trade talks, the two biggest names that are players that I see as impacted by what we learned today are Clint Capela and Chris Paul. There's also an anecdote about Mike D'Antoni's status as a coach and specifically his contract negotiations. We'll get to that in the third segment. Here in the second segment, I want to get to Chris Paul because to me, he's the number two storyline. Clint Capela is the number one storyline because to me, there's the easiest pathway to a deal based on what we know. With Chris Paul, the door is a little more open after this story today, but I still think it's very, very unlikely, and I want to explain in this segment why. First, if you have not heard our episode earlier in the week, on Monday we did an off-season trade primer in which I explained why a Chris Paul trade on multiple levels is very unlikely. I encourage you to check out our Locked On Rockets archives and listen to that. We'll be touching on a few of those themes, but a little more concisely today. The Woj story, what this tells me today, this is the first mention I have seen of a Chris Paul trade being realistic, of the Rockets being open to that. That in and of itself, I think, is important to note. Chris Paul, he had other options 2 years ago when he chose the Rockets. He's the head of the players union. He is a very powerful guy. He's a superstar. And as I've said before, the four-year deal that the Rockets gave him at the max last summer, I'm pretty confident that was a condition of the trade when it was executed, the opt-in, way back in June 2017. So with these types of agreements, you never know if there's something wink-wink behind the scenes to where even though he doesn't technically have a no-trade clause, did the Rockets say behind closed doors, we won't trade you without your consent? This is the first thing I've seen that indicates that the Rockets, under the right circumstances, are willing to part with him. That in and of itself is not insignificant. Now, even if the Rockets had told Chris Paul that they wouldn't trade him without his consent, of course, since there's no trade clause, they could go back on that if they wanted, but then there's relationships, especially with Paul having a very powerful agent, being the head of the players union. I don't know if the Rockets would want to double-cross him. That doesn't really seem that wise. So I think this is the first indication where at least the Rockets, under the right circumstances, would consider it. That's not insignificant. However, I still view it as very, very unlikely. The reasons for that, it starts with the fact that a trade of Chris Paul has to be compatible with the first line of that Woj story, which is reshaping the Rockets into a championship contender. And as long as James Harden is in Houston, that means the heavy emphasis is on the next two seasons. With James Harden turning 30, he's only a couple of years away from Chris Paul, his first year in Houston, which is when we started to see the decline, and then really last year at 33. Everything about the Rockets with James Harden is about maximizing the next two or three seasons. Even if the Rockets are open to moving Chris Paul, and I see why, look, he's still a very good basketball player. That tends to get lost because at $38 million next season, owed nearly $125 million over the next three seasons, yeah, he's overpaid. But he's still a very good basketball player, and there are teams that would be much better off if they had Chris Paul on their roster. So in a perfect world, yeah, maybe somebody does judge Chris Paul not by the contract, but by his production, because he could make a lot of teams better. He is not a bad basketball player at all. In fact, when everybody's healthy, I think he's still your second best. That's the case for optimism. That's why if you're the Rockets, you at least have to be open-minded and see what happens on the market. The reality, I just don't see many pathways to a deal. First, if you want to improve your championship chances, which is the point, it can't be a deal for less bad contracts. The scenario where, say, you send them to Phoenix and get Tyler Johnson and Filler, that's not going to work because it makes you a worse basketball team today, all for the upside of maybe getting cap room in 2021 instead of 2022. You're not going to punt on seasons of James Harden's prime when he is turning 30. And that's what that move would be. The only ways that a Chris Paul trade would make sense are if either A, you get an upgrade, but I just don't see why a team would trade a better basketball player for Chris Paul given his age and contract. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know what that hypothetical would be. The only semi-realistic hypothetical I could see would be if you dealt him into cap space prior to free agency, and then we're able to use some of those cap savings in free agency. But that's not as simple as it sounds. For starters, as I explained on Monday's show, even though Chris Paul makes $38 million, it's not as simple you trade into someone else who has that kind of cap space, and then you have $38 million that you can spend on other free agents. That's not the way the cap works. The Rockets are already going to be about $15, $20 million over the salary cap, so you'd be closer to $18 million in terms of what you're under the cap by trading Chris Paul rather than 38. You would also, by virtue of going under the cap, lose your mid-level exception, which is close to $6 million in terms of the starting salary. So your actual net savings, what you would be able to spend on the market, even if you ditched Chris Paul tomorrow for nothing, would not be about $38 million. The net savings would be about $10 to $15 million in terms of extra money that you have to play with relative to what you have now. Is what you could do with that $15 million better than Chris Paul? I guess if you squint hard enough, you could say maybe. I still think it's unlikely. You'd have to be really judicious in terms of how you allocate that money. You'd have to hope for someone to give you a discount because that's about half of the veteran's max. So you wouldn't be in striking range of any of the true top-tier free agents, at least by virtue of being an under-the-cap team. It would not be very easy to get an upgrade to Chris Paul. It wouldn't be impossible, but that's the only way that it makes even a little bit of sense for the Rockets in terms of giving you a better championship shot next season. And then where things really get complicated is finding a team that's willing to do that. Because if you do a deal before July 1st, then you're also giving up your own chance to go out in free agency and spend that cap space. The most realistic suitor that I've seen mentioned for Chris would be the LA Lakers, because obviously with LeBron James getting close to 35, they're in a win-now mode, and Chris and LeBron are good friends. Okay, first and foremost, I think it's difficult to see the Lakers committing that cap space before July 1st. I've heard rumors that, you know, if they strike out in the first wave of free agency, then they could come back to the Rockets and do a Chris Paul trade around July 10th. Well, at that point, the deal's significance goes way down for the Rockets because the savings that they would net from that move, there wouldn't be all that many free agents left for them to spend it on. Realistically, you would be punting to next offseason to use those proceeds and giving up a year of James Harden's prime. I don't think that's what they're looking to do. So you would have to have the Lakers do a deal before July 1st. And more than that, I don't think Daryl Morey would see $15 million extra in terms of flexibility as superior to Chris Paul. I think to actually feel daring enough to do that deal, you would have to see the Lakers giving up actual assets as well. And sure, they have some young pieces that are intriguing. Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram. Maybe they give up one or two of those. But at that point, why would the Lakers give up cap space for a contract in Chris Paul that most of the league agrees isn't good? That's asking enough in and of itself. Now, to feel really good, you're talking about cap space and young players? Why would they do that? I just don't see a deal that's going to make sense for both sides. If it's just a dump in terms of Paul into the Lakers space, I'm not even sure the Lakers would do that, especially prior to July 1st. And I'm also not sure just a dump would be enough for the Rockets, because I don't know if the net savings you would get out of that, I don't know that that's worth more than Chris Paul, the basketball player, who was pretty damn good this past season, including Game 6 when he put up 27 points on 11 of 19 shooting, 11 boards. He can still be really good, especially in the playoffs. He's not as elite as he was a year ago, but he's still a pretty damn good basketball player. And his age, while at 34, he's not what he was a couple of years ago, at the same time, there have been guards just looked at Steve Nash under Mike D'Antoni, who we'll talk about in just a couple of minutes. Steve Nash aged well into his late 30s before he fell off a cliff. So the Rockets, there are ways that you can perhaps tweak your system to make Chris Paul more viable. Somewhat of a faster pace is something that I've suggested, less pure isolation. Chris Paul, while overpaid, a lot of people struggle to separate the contract from the basketball player. He's still a very important piece of this team, even if he's not the star he was a year ago. And I'm not convinced that $10 to $15 million could get you on the open market someone that is as impactful as Chris Paul to your championship chances, especially given the pedigree, the clutch gene, all the things we have seen from him in the last two postseasons. To even do a deal like that, I think you'd probably need that added flexibility plus young assets, decent players that you know would be a part of your team, such as, you know, Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, those names that I mentioned. And then at that point, why in the world are the Lakers giving up both the cap space and the assets for a 34-year-old Chris Paul? You never say never. And I do think it's noteworthy that the Rockets, this story was clearly sourced from them. As I said off the top, it's using Woj as a bullhorn to get the message out to the league that, hey, we are open for business, get us your offers. And the fact that Chris Paul is included as someone that's attainable, that's not insignificant. However, I still see it as very, very unlikely, because if a deal makes sense for the Rockets in terms of moving Chris Paul and it materially improving their championship chances in the next couple of years, which is with James Harden turning 30, what it's all about, then I just don't see why it makes sense for the other team. It's something that you can't rule out now that they've acknowledged the possibility, but it's also something I wouldn't spend too much time losing sleep over. I think it's very unlikely. That's why I lead with Clint Capella. I think that's a much more reasonable deal that might land the Rockets the type of upgrade that they're looking for. I think Chris Paul, it's an interesting discussion, but ultimately, I doubt anything really comes of it. Now, we'll get to the third and final name I mentioned off the top, Mike D'Antoni, momentarily. There was an interesting anecdote about him in that Woj story. But before we get there, I want to acknowledge a couple of our great partners. First, there's Himalaya. As always, to get this show every day, you can subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. I also want to thank our partners over at Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. It's ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift. And for our listeners, Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's Grip, the number 6, and LOCKE, grip6.com/lock. All right, final segment of the show as we close it out. This is Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. For the majority of the program, we've been talking about personnel issues related to the Adrian Wojnarowski story at ESPN, in which he said Daryl Morey has made the entire Houston roster and future draft picks available in trade talks, a dramatic initiative with hopes of reshaping the team into a championship contender. I do think, and explained in the first segment, that it could lead to Clint Capella's exit, probably not until late June or early July, because I think more than likely, the way for the Rockets to get the type of upgrade they're seeking in terms of another star player to put around James Harden would be to take advantage of a leverage situation like the one that landed Chris Paul in Houston in July or June of 2017, and that's with a free agent to be who then can get a good deal for the Rockets by virtue of saying, hey, if you don't do this deal, then I can just walk and you get nothing in return. It's hard to do a deal now, unless it were for Anthony Davis, who can exert that pressure at any time because he can leave next summer as a free agent from the Pelicans, but I'm still skeptical the Rockets have the assets. I've said this going back to February, to get in the market for Anthony Davis, a guy at 26, 27 years old, still a top 10 player when he's right. I just think the Rockets, their war chest, Clint Capella, future first-round picks that, if you have Harden and AD, would not be that good. Look, they'll try, but I think they would ultimately be outbid. So I think the Rockets' chance is much more realistic with actual free agents this summer who have a bit more leverage. AD still has a year left. Some teams would call his bluff. Ultimately, though, I think with Capella, you'll have this situation play out until late June, early July. Right now, the Rockets just trying to canvas the market. You can say much the same things about Chris Paul, as we looked into in the second segment, but for various contractual reasons, and Adrian Wojnarowski acknowledges this in his story, make deal possibilities somewhat prohibitive for CP3. My bet is that he's back in Houston. The last note in the Adrian Wojnarowski story, and this is not related to personnel, is that extension talks with Coach Mike D'Antoni appear to have stalled. And that's noteworthy because the Rockets, they've now got 4 coaching vacancies, Jeff Bezdelic, Roy Rogers, Mitchell Vania, Irv Roland, and they also fired the video coordinator. Well, they didn't fire, they just didn't renew the contracts. But the point is, the Rockets have all these vacancies, and yet they still have this uncertainty with Mike D'Antoni, who is only under contract for one more season. And we also heard from Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle. He did a mailbag today. You can find that on his Twitter page, @Jonathan_Fagan, in which he says priority one for the Rockets is lighting up a deal with Mike D'Antoni. And so you couple that with the report from Woj that extension talks appear to be stalled. It puts the Rockets in a very interesting place as it pertains to the coaching staff. Of course, they're looking at personnel upgrades. We talked about that for the majority of this show. But the coaching staff, that's another area that conceivably you could get better compared to where you were a year ago. We said off the top, the defense this year was not as good as it was a year ago, and it had to do with the fact that Rockets won 53 games instead of 65. So they're looking for upgrades. But the problem is, it's difficult to fill those spots while there's uncertainty regarding the head coach. And with the Rockets having all these vacancies, and undoubtedly Joel Morey wants to get a top-of-the-line staff, that's the best way to maximize your championship odds, it's becoming increasingly difficult to do that with Mike D'Antoni on a one-year deal. So this is the latest in a long line of hints that the lame duck status, that's probably not going to fly. Either one way or another, the Rockets are going to have to get a deal. And with Woj saying that talks are stalled, does it mean that they're not going to pick up at some point? No. All it takes is one phone call. Negotiations stall all the time. But what it tells you pretty clearly is that at least to this point, the Rockets are not comfortable with the price point that has been suggested. I don't think it means that they want Daryl Morey or that they want Mike D'Antoni out. I don't think it's necessarily even about money. It might be about years. But whatever the case, there is a point that they appear unwilling to commit to. And if that does not change, if these parties are truly dug in terms of this is what we'll offer on the Rockets side and this is what we'll accept on the part of D'Antoni and his agent, and D'Antoni's agent has a ton of very high-value clients around the league, they're very worried about precedent, well, you do have to wonder what happens if these two sides don't come closer together. Because the Rockets can't drag this out all offseason. The types of guys they want to hire, they have other options, and they're not going to want to wait around until July, August, September. We saw what happened a year ago when Jeff Bezdelic walked away in September and the Rockets didn't make an outside hire because at that point, there weren't really any guys that were worth adding to the staff. They just tried to patch it internally, and then in November, ended up springing for a raise and bringing Jeff Bezdelic out of retirement. There's not an indefinite time period here, and if both sides are truly dug in, I don't know that they are, but let's run with the hypothetical. There does increasingly, at least to me, seem to be a possibility that, hey, the Rockets might have to reevaluate whether Mike D'Antoni is the coach for this coming season. I'm not saying that I think it's likely, but considering all the other changes afoot, considering all the other vacancies, having D'Antoni on a one-year deal, while in a perfect world, you'd have that flexibility. You don't want to let him go, but you do want as much flexibility as you can in the future in case you need to go a different direction. Things do happen. Circumstances change. As much as that sounds good on paper, in reality, that's becoming very, very difficult. And now that with talks being stalled, that's the first real evidence I've seen that it doesn't feel like there's momentum towards a deal. You do have to wonder, is there a scenario where even though the Rockets said, hey, we have this guy and he's going to be our coach, is there a point in which they reassess that there's a mutual parting of ways? I don't think that's the scenario that either side wants. And personally, I love Mike. I think he's a good coach. He's great with the media. I hope it doesn't happen. And if I had to bet, I don't think it does. But today's news is the first real concrete intel that, hey, the negotiations, while they've been talking about them, look, right now there's not a deal and there doesn't seem to be momentum towards one. So this storyline, it's not going to play out over months. It's going to play out over days and at the most weeks, because the Rockets are not going to wait around, considering that the coaches, the top-of-the-line guys that are open and moving, they're not just going to wait and see if maybe the Rockets come to some clarity on who the coach is and thus who they'd be working for. They're going to want answers sooner rather than later. So I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to watch this very, very closely. I've seen stories that the Rockets have worked on this deal for a few months, that these talks are not new. That's fine. During the season, they've got time. Now, with five vacancies, they don't. They've got to move one way or another. And with the Woj story, we know that right now, there doesn't seem to be momentum towards a deal. I hope that changes, but if for some reason it doesn't, then you do have to wonder if, in addition to all the personnel changes, there might be even more than we thought on the coaching side as well. Anyway, I think that'll about do it for tonight's show here at Locked On Rockets. And if you want more content before our next episode, of course, there are very many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, Facebook, email, LockedOnRockets.com, Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those ways you can access prior episodes or ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. Or you can inquire about how to become a potential sponsor and advertiser of the program, just as our friends at Gallery Furniture were today. Remember, the incredible Memorial Day Super Sale over at Gallery Furniture has now been officially extended. You can take advantage by visiting any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com. And beyond listening and supporting our sponsors, please remember that you can also help the show by subscribing on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Leave 5-star reviews if you can. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Podcast Lockdown Rockets, and you can get our most recent episode via your voice assistant as well. Once again, thanks to all of you for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Lockdown Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.